WCRI's festival series highlights one of our community's greatest musical traditions, the Newport Music Festival. Since 1969, the Newport Music Festival has hosted over 2,000 concerts in Rhode Island's most prestigious venues, while presenting world-renowned and emerging classical music artists from around the globe. The Newport Music Festival has left an indelible mark on our music history here in Rhode Island, as well as around the world. Now, here's host Mike Mano, along with the festival's executive director, Pamela Pantos.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to our special series on the Newport Music Festival. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with Pamela Pantos, the executive director of the Newport Music Festival. And it's that time of year. Last week, we set the clocks, changed the clocks. It's a little bit lighter in the evening, lighter in the morning, darker in the evening, and it's that fall, crisp time of year, Pamela.
Absolutely. It is definitely fall, and I think we are headed towards one of my favorite holidays, and I hope yours.
Thanksgiving?
Yeah, absolutely. Right. I love it because there's a simplicity to it. You cook for a couple of days, you invite some friends and family over.
I don't cook for a couple days,
okay,
but
I do.
but I do invite friends and family over.
Right?
So there you go.
And it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So today's program is really oriented towards that time of Thanksgiving, and I selected some repertoire which I believe is really indicative, very spiritual, not necessarily
religious,
but I think one of them is actually, and we should probably talk about that one first. So Thomas Tallis was a 16th century composer, and he wrote music for services in the royal chapels of the British monarchs, including Henry VIII and Elizabeth I. So obviously a very prestigious composer. And he wrote lots of tunes and psalms for the Archbishop of Canterbury. So we're talking about, the 1550s around there. Well, Ralph Vaughan Williams, as you know, one of my favorite composers, was doing a lot of research, and he came across these Renaissance pieces. He did hymnal work, and so he grabbed one of these tunes, and he set some gorgeous variations, which are some of, I think, my most favorite pieces, in the entire repertoire. So Vaughan Williams had been studying with Ravel, in particular, coloration and orchestration. And I think when we think of Ravel's music, it's not just French Impressionism, but rather he used the orchestra in a new dynamic way. And so Vaughan Williams went to France to study with Ravel and discover some of, these colors. So he created for this piece, he actually divides a huge orchestra into three parts. There's a solo string quartet, there is a group of nine players, and then there's a full string section. So you have these three groups, three sizes of string players. And because of that, he can juxtapose and play with melodies between smaller ensemble and larger ensemble, and you get this very lush sound. And Donald Runicle, so this wonderful Scottish conductor, said, there's a sound coming when you're sitting in the concert hall, there's this sound coming at you, but you're not sure where it's coming from. And so it's really a tribute to Thomas Tallis through another great English composer, Ralph Vaughan Williams. So I think this is a spiritual piece. I think it's a beautiful piece for a time of Thanksgiving. And we're going to listen to a recording conducted by Sir Neville Mariner and the Academy of St. Martin in the Fields.
All right. We'll listen to that. It's a little bit lengthy, so we'll take a short break after that and be back with more. Thank you. The Newport Music Festival special series is what we're listening to with Pamela Pantos. I'm Mike Mano. And Pamela, that first piece, as you mentioned, was back from the middle 1500s,
yeah,
right?
Right.
This next music, we're going to go ahead in time a little bit now.
Well, that piece was originally composed in the 1500s, right. And then Ray Vaughan Williams, who lived in the 20th century,
right,
actually,
right.
Then adapted it. Yes,
right.
But we are going to come up to the present, close to the present time. Thanksgiving is not only a very spiritual holiday, but also a very American holiday.
Right? Yeah, that's true.
And so this next piece is very Americana, written by one of the greatest American composers, Aaron Copland. And as you know, I also love his work. And I feel that Copland had the capability to embody America in its various stages. You know, we have the Rodeo, we have, his opera, The Tenderland, which is about the Midwest on a farm. So Copland was really capable of grabbing American themes and bringing them to light. So during World War II, Copland was composing a great deal. As a matter of fact, his Rodeo was introduced in 1942. And Appalachian Spring had its premiere at the Library of Congress towards the end of 1944. So if you think of those times, it's quite remarkable that he was composing these pieces that were really full of light. So he also produced several commissioned pieces that were patriotic in nature. One of them was the Fanfare for the Common Man that we will close today's program with.
Probably the most well-known, I would think.
Of all of his pieces.
Yeah.
And if we think about that piece, when do we hear the Fanfare for the Common Man? It's the Olympics. It's when man landed on the moon. It's
right.
These huge...
It's paramount.
Right, exactly. Huge gestures. And that's why I thought we'd close today's program with it. But in the meantime, conductor Andrei Kostolanitz commissioned a gallery of musical portraits from three American composers, Jerome Kern, Virgil Thompson, who wrote a lot of big choral pieces, and Copland. And he said that he wanted the qualities of courage, dignity, strength, simplicity, and humor to be brought forth in these commissions, which he felt that were so characteristic of the American people. Which is just remarkable. Think of this conductor saying, I want beautiful orchestral pieces written that really embody who we are as a people. So I think that's quite remarkable. And Aaron Copland decided to choose Abraham Lincoln. But at the same time, he felt that Abraham Lincoln was such a big character that he had to do it in three movements and try to portray different elements of Lincoln's character throughout the piece. And at the same time, he thought it was important that Lincoln's spoken word was included. And as he said, no composer could possibly hope to match, in purely musical terms, the stature of so eminent a figure. And he prepared his own text. So he went and viewed a lot of Lincoln's original documents and speeches, and then framed them down to create sort of a narrative to go along with the music. So this is a very special composition. And it was premiered many, many years ago, about 70 years ago. And in the meantime, many prominent figures have spoken the text, including Adlai Stevenson, Carl Sandburg, the contralto Marian Anderson, former Prime Minister of Great Britain Margaret Thatcher, and Copland himself, towards the end of his life, gave sort of celebrity performances of reading the text himself,
right.
That rather than conducting it, he would stand and read the text. That's how near and dear this piece was to him. So we are going to hear all three movements. Here it's actually Aaron Copland himself conducting rather than speaking. He's conducting the London Symphony Orchestra, and Henry Fonda is our narrator.
There you go. Can't do better than that. We'll listen to two of them, take a short break, and then the third piece, and then we'll be back with more.
fellow citizens, we cannot escape history. That is what he said. That is what Abraham Lincoln said. Fellow citizens, we cannot escape history. We of this Congress and this administration will be remembered in spite of ourselves. No personal significance or insignificance can spare one or another of us. The fiery trial through which we pass will light us down in honor or dishonor to the latest generation. We, even we here, hold the power and bear the responsibility. Was born in Kentucky, raised in Indiana, and lived in Illinois. And this is what he said. This is what Abe Lincoln said. The dogmas of the quiet past are inadequate to the stormy present. The occasion is piled high with difficulty, and we must rise with the occasion. As our case is new, so we must think anew and act anew. We must disenthrall ourselves, and then we shall save our country. Standing erect, he was 6 feet 4 inches tall, and this is what he said. He said, "It is the eternal struggle between two principles, right and wrong, throughout the world. It is the same spirit that says, you toil and work and earn bread, and I'll eat it, no matter in what shape it comes, whether from the mouth of a king who seeks to bestride the people of his own nation and live by the fruit of their labor, or from one race of men as an apology for enslaving another race. It is the same tyrannical principle." Lincoln was a quiet man. Abe Lincoln was a quiet and a melancholy man. But when he spoke of democracy, this is what he said. He said, "As I would not be a slave, so I would not be a master." This expresses my idea of democracy. Whatever differs from this, to the extent of the difference, is no democracy. Thank you. Abraham Lincoln, 16th President of these United States, is everlasting in the memory of his countrymen. For on the battleground at Gettysburg, this is what he said. He said that from these honored dead, we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion. That we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain. That this nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom. And that government of the people, by the people, and for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
That puts all three pieces of the Lincoln together so that we have that. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with Pamela Pantos, and we took a little commercial break between those, the second and third piece, talking now about Copland and some wonderful writing, and one of the most popular, if not, could be considered one of the most popular American composers.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah. Along with Leonard Bernstein, absolutely, right. for sure. If we're not talking about Broadway, which is, of course, then we go to Rogers and Hammerstein.
Yeah, you get a lot of Broadway people. Right. But as far as this
genre,
it's really between the two, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And what's amazing is that Copland has the capability to be so diversified in his compositional skills. And I think you'll hear that in this next piece, which is from his opera, The Tenderland. People don't know his compositions. They certainly don't know this opera. There are many operas that I feel that are disregarded in a way, or almost completely ignored. And it's, for me, you know, as I used to be an opera singer, so sad. We sing so much better in our own vernacular, obviously, right? You know that as a singer.
Yeah.
You sing so much better. And as an American, these themes come so naturally to you. And I find it quite unfortunate sometimes that pieces like The Tenderland aren't performed more, because when they do, the audience leaves and always says, you know, when I used to produce these pieces, people say, oh my God, that was fabulous. I'm so glad I didn't miss it.
Right.
And yet they perhaps don't have the pizzazz of a La Boheme or a Carmen or something. You know, they don't have that prestige. You know?
Well, I have to tell you, Pamela, once an opera singer, always an opera singer.
I guess so.
People are going to remember you. As you know, as a performer, people are going to remember those performances. Yeah. So you always will be. You can't get away from it.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true. So this next piece is from The Tenderland. It's a suite. So basically, he took themes from The Tenderland and put them together. It is a very beautiful piece and very much in keeping with our theme of Thanksgiving. So let's listen to this piece.
Thank you.
Beautiful music, and speaking of beautiful music, you're going to have more than Thanksgiving coming up soon. It's going to be, before you know it, right around the corner, that most wonderful time of the year.
It absolutely is. I feel like it's already quite started this year. Nonetheless, right after Thanksgiving, of course, we have the Christmas holidays coming up, and the Newport Music Festival had such a successful Christmas concert last year. It was the first in the 50-year history of the festival, which is pretty incredible. We were at St. Mary's last year, and now this year we are going to be in Emmanuel Church, at Emmanuel Church in Newport, for three concerts on December 7th and 8th. So we'll have two matinees on the 7th and 8th and an evening performance on the 7th in that beautiful church. And we are so grateful to the family of Ann Brown for sponsoring this concert. It's going to be a little bit of an extravaganza. So we have four incredible vocalists from the Greater Boston and New York area coming to be as soloists. We have violinists, we have pianists, we have an organist. There are excerpts from The Messiah. There's a sing-along. I don't know.
everything
you could possibly imagine. And yet we're containing it to about a 70-minute program, which is, of course, conducive to have families be able to attend with children, you know, who can't sit for a long period of time sometimes.
Absolutely.
And the prices for children start at $5. So extremely affordable. That was one of the tenants.
And you can get information by going online
to newportmusic.org, or you can call the box office at 401-849-0700. And again, tickets, you know, are only $25 or $30 for adults. So very affordable for an entire family to attend. And I think a very special event in a very beautiful setting.
All right. Well, let's get to this last piece of music, see if we can get it all in, as we promised.
Okay.
Another Copland piece.
Okay. The last and probably, as you said, the most famous. This is his Fanfare for the Common Man.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to WCRI's Festival Series featuring the Newport Music Festival. For more information on the festival, special seasonal concerts, to purchase tickets, or to donate, call 849-0700 or visit newportmusic.org.